Today's reading comes from the book of John, chapter 4, and we read verses 4 to 18. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," said the woman, "you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons, his flocks, and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go and call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true."
My name's Ian, and welcome back to our summer series of messages, which has the title, More Than Enough. Whatever is going on in your life, the Bible promises again and again that God's grace is more than enough for every single one of us. And today we're looking at a really well-known story from John's Gospel, chapter 4. It's about the woman that Jesus met one day in Samaria. Let's pray before we look at the story together. Father God, as we look at your word now, what we need more than anything is for you to show us who we are. We pray that the scales would fall from our eyes and for us to see you, and in seeing you, to find ourselves. We ask this by the power of your Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll build a world of our own that no one else can share. All our sorrows we'll leave far behind us there. And I know that we'll find there'll be peace of mind when we live in a world of our own. That song was sung by a band called The Seekers in the late 1960s, so if you can remember it, then you're really quite old. But it's still very relevant today, because I think we have this deep feeling that it's in one special personal relationship that we can really find security and happiness and satisfaction. So many people feel that if only they can find the right relationship where there's enough, you know, commitment and chemistry, the two big C's, as long as there's enough of that, then I'll find the happiness I long for. If only I can find that one special person, that's the key to everything. And that's what makes this lady, this Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, the lady in front of us today, such a contemporary figure. She kept trying to build a world of her own around a special relationship to create meaning and a good life for herself. And every time that world, that relationship, fell apart. And we learn in verse 18 of John chapter 4 that five times she'd tried marriage and five times it had failed. And now she was living with her sixth man, building a world of their own. And I believe that there are so many people today who, like this woman, are desperately looking for personal meaning and satisfaction. And they throw themselves into relationship after relationship, looking for happiness. And this is the crunch. This is the key to what I'm saying. They bring to their relationships expectations that that relationship was never meant to bear. And this Samaritan woman knew all about emotional tragedy. She's so contemporary. She tried to set up the dream relationship in 5 marriages. And she must have thought each time, well, perhaps this is the one. Perhaps this one will work, as she tried again and again. Now, please don't get me wrong. I love marriage. Jan and I have been married for over 50 years. It's wonderful. And so, of course, I'm not speaking against marriage. That would be totally unbiblical. Marriage is the essential building block of human society in the Bible, right from the start of the Bible. I'm just against, though, the impossibly high expectations that our culture brings to marriage. And the pain that's felt when the dream doesn't work out. And what this Samaritan woman had to learn is that we must look elsewhere for ultimate satisfaction and meaning in life. We must look to Jesus. And in this Bible story, in John chapter 4, there are 2 reasons why Jesus deserves our complete attention as we seek to handle life and our relationships. And the first thing that John tells us is this: that Jesus meets the person. Jesus meets the person. We see him meeting this Samaritan woman in verse 7 of our chapter. When the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" And we see here that Jesus is intimately concerned with individual human beings. Now, if we take a time travel back to the first century, we see Jesus at work here. This is actually an extraordinary chapter. It doesn't look very extraordinary, does it? Verse 7 doesn't look extraordinary, but it is. Because Jesus, to simply meet this woman and to have the conversation with her like he did, he has to cross 3 massive social and cultural barriers. And the first barrier is this. This woman was a woman. That's the first barrier he had to cross. Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jesus to be seen in such a public place talking to a woman was to cross a social barrier, which is why the disciples almost explode later in the chapter in verse 27. Why are you talking with her? What's going on? Why are you speaking to her? Relationships between the sexes at the time of Jesus in Palestine were a far cry from what they are today. Incredibly, in those days, in the synagogues, the Jewish men gave thanks every day by saying, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, who hast not made me a woman." Isn't that just awful? But they did. Secondly, this lady wasn't just a woman. She was a Samaritan. In Jewish understanding, she was mixed race. The Samaritans had broken off from the Jews. They'd set up their own place of worship in Samaria. They'd intermarried hundreds of years previously with people from abroad. And the Jews looked down on them. They utterly despised them. In fact, it's a massive understatement. We look down at verse 9, that little phrase, "The Jews do not associate with the Samaritans." The word Samaritan, to be frank, was an incredibly rude swear word in that culture. Polite people wouldn't even mention the word. Most Jews would rather make a huge detour rather than walk through Samaria. Jesus didn't do that. And Jesus, despite these huge social implications, meets this woman in a very public place. And he says, "Will you give me a drink?" She was a woman. She she was a Samaritan, and thirdly, she was what Jesus would describe as a sinner. A woman, a Samaritan, a sinner. That's probably why she was at the well at the hottest time of day in such a hot climate. She doesn't want the stares of people's disapproval. So going to the well at that time of day, she was avoiding people. But Jesus will not avoid her. He knows all about her. We see that later on in the chapter. He knows the number of husbands she's had. He knows what she's like. And yet, Jesus had to meet her. He doesn't avoid her. Because he's intimately concerned with individual human beings. Now, if you look one chapter back in John's Gospel, in chapter 3, you might think that this is where the action really is. Because Jesus meets this politician and theologian called Nicodemus, who's a kind of rolled up version of the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Prime Minister, if you can get that picture. That's what Nicodemus was like. So you would imagine, you would expect Jesus to spend all his time with Nicodemus. He's a really important person. And yet, right next to Nicodemus, John puts in this story about an immoral, poor Samaritan woman. Just to emphasize the point that Jesus is concerned with all kinds of people. With all kinds of people. And I don't know where you are in this. I don't know what would happen if you had a piece of paper with a scale, with a measurement on it, and at the top of the scale was Nicodemus, and at the bottom of the scale was the Samaritan woman. I don't know where you'd be. Perhaps some would be quite near the top, rather like Nicodemus, and actually you're doing God a great favour by being involved in church. We'd rather expect God to be very interested in us, how there's so much we have to offer. Or maybe we feel more on a par with the Samaritan woman. We feel almost embarrassed about coming to meet God at all. I feel so unworthy. I mean, God can't really be interested in me. But please remember, that is the very charge that the Pharisees laid against Jesus, that he received bad men and women. Your unworthiness and my unworthiness is the very condition that makes God so interested in us. So wherever you are on the scale, Jesus is personal. He's intimately concerned about you. And he's not put off by discriminations that affect us so much, be it our race, our sex, our age, or any other prejudice. Maybe you have a very low self-image. Maybe society has told us we're not worth much. Jesus does not think like that. He speaks to Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman with equal concern, with equal respect, because he's interested in you, in me, in people. And secondly, Jesus doesn't just meet the person. He makes this woman the most incredible promise. Verses 9 and 10. Jesus always goes straight to the heart of the issue. And here he goes straight to the heart of what this lady needs. So we read on from verses 9 to 12. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And the woman is confused because this well is the only well for miles around and her ancestors dug it. So she says, quite understandably, "Where are you going to get the living water?" In other words, where's your private tap? And Jesus answers her, very striking, in verse 13. What a promise! Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. So you see, the conversation's going on at two levels. The woman takes it at the material level. She wants straightforward water. She's saying, where's the tap? And Jesus talks at a deeper level, a level at which water is simply a symbol. And he says, look, I can give you life-giving water that will completely satisfy your spiritual thirst. That's what he says here. That your inner thirst, that all your relationships have not been able to satisfy, he says, come to me. All those relationships have not satisfied that inner thirst, but I can satisfy it. And what Jesus talks about is nothing less than the very life of God being poured into the lives of those who put their trust in him. He is completely able to meet the spiritual need of every single one of us. God's grace, in the words of our summer series title, is more than enough. Just one more thought as we finish. And importantly, this is for all of us who sometimes feel that, like the Samaritan woman that Jesus met in our story, that we're not worth much and that we haven't got much to offer. You see, for years, one way and another, I've been trying to share my faith with other people. And I wouldn't change any of that, because reaching other people with the good news that we can have a day-by-day living relationship with God is hugely important. But incredibly, what I've come to believe more and more, that what people are craving for is not all the answers. They can find answers. What people are craving for, incredibly, is to see how God has helped us in our weakness and our brokenness. A little while ago, I was reading about a church that started a little group in someone's home, and they called the little group For Strugglers. It was for those who'd lost their faith. It was for those who had no faith. It was for those who weren't sure. It was for prodigals. It was for those who were emotionally scarred. It was for those who didn't feel that they'd really made it. And all that the members of this group had to share was their weakness. And you know, people were beating down the door to get into that group. And many stories of healing, of finding faith and faith coming alive again, came out of that group For Strugglers, as they discovered the incredible power of weakness. You see, there's a principle and a pattern running right through the Bible. The Apostle Paul says it in one of his famous letters in the Bible, writing to the new Christians living in Corinth. He says, God has chosen the weak things in the world. God has chosen to fulfill his purpose on earth through weak, ordinary, simple, needy, helpless people. Which means we're all included, if we want to be. Let's pray about that now. Jesus says, the water I will give will become a spring of water welling up into eternal life. Father God, I pray for each one of us here, that we may know what it is to come to your Son, the Lord Jesus, and to know him as the one who satisfies our spiritual thirst. May we, each one of us, find that your grace is more than enough to completely satisfy our longing for a deep and lasting relationship. And would you lead us to meet people who are also thirsty for a lasting and satisfying relationship with you? Amen.